Hello, everybody, and this is Sin Sage, and welcome to the Sage Advice Podcast. I am your host. My name is Sin Sage, and with me today, I have a lovely guest, Miss Felicia Fisher. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty amazing. I'm kicking myself right now because I called you Miss, and I don't like doing that. I guess I feel like I'm more okay with Miss than with Ma'am. I fucking hate Ma'am. I'm like, don't call me Ma'am. Like, I don't like it. But also, I just don't really like those honorifics.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like them in general because it's like the – so, for example, for men, all you have is Mr. But for women, you have several different honorifics that designate like the marital status of the woman. And how fucking ass backwards is that shit? So something to think about.
I don't know. Ever since I became a Mrs., I kind of love it. I used to hate being called Miss, but I did get married.
Yes. Congrats. Now, like,
thank you.
So how long ago did you get married?
Like half a year ago now.
Okay, you're totally September. Yeah, you're in it. You're so in it. I remember when I got married, I was like, oh, I'm a Mrs. This is my husband. Like in the first year or two, you're just like, look, my husband. And then it's kind of like, eh.
How long have you been married now?
We got married in November of 2015.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You're well out of the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Almost 10 years. That's amazing.
I know. It's crazy. Oh. But anyways, we will definitely talk more about that. So let's instead have you please introduce yourself to all of the people listening.
Hi, guys. I'm Felicia Fisher. I have been in the adult industry for 10 years now, which is crazy. I took a little bit of a hiatus last year, but I never stopped. I just kind of backed away from, you know, being as forward-facing as I was. But as always, I'm still a phone sex operator. I'm still a clip artist. I still shoot porn every once in a while. And I still love getting nasty. And here I am today. And I'm so happy to be talking to you, Sin. I remember I was working with Courtney Trouble and Chelsea Poe back in like 2019 or something. Yeah. And they were like, you need to meet Sin Sage. She looks like you. You could be her sister.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were like, you guys need to shoot together. And now I'm on your podcast and we're shooting next week.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so crazy.
Well, definitely, you know, as people know, I moved out to Chicago adjacent area and it has been a struggle to find people to collaborate with and to work with. I've been lucky to have models that travel through and visit me. And we'll go like out of the way to come to my little town. And also I come to Chicago for models that are traveling through Chicago and work with them there. But you know, it's a struggle. And then me coming from Vegas where it was just dip into the pool and pull out someone to work with, like super easy. It's been challenging. So for me to find out that you're, you know, in this area as well, and we can potentially work together on a somewhat regular basis. Like, I'm so grateful and I'm so excited to get to know you because everything I've seen of you on social media and, of course, the recommendation from Courtney and Chelsea. I mean, that's just – those are the best connections to make. Those are my peeps, my fans. Yeah. So I'm just excited to get to know you more, and I'm very thrilled to work together next week. So, yay.
Yeah. I can't wait. And I'm really, thank you for having me on again. I'm really excited. I haven't done a podcast in like, I think a couple years now too, which is wild.
Yeah. Well, definitely it's time for you to, you know, get back into the swing of things. Although it does feel like part of your, maybe not so much even a hiatus, but maybe like sort of pulling back from the socials of it all. Is because you're doing some kind of mainstreamy work as well, which fully support all of that. Many sex workers have multiple facets to the lives we live. What kind of sort of mainstream job are you working with?
So I was full-time in the adult industry. Well, I'm going to give you a little story. Backing it up.
Please.
I got, technically, I got my start in the industry by working at an adult store when I was 19. And that was the last job I had before I did porn full time for like 5 years. And in 2022, I hit a point where I was just like, I need to go back to school. I need to do more. I want more. So I went back to school and I gave healthcare a try, and I am no longer in healthcare, and I am back in school, and I don't want to give it away just yet, but I'm working on something right now that I hope I can incorporate with my work in the adult industry.
Yeah.
So I am definitely going to talk more about that in a couple years, but as of right now, I'm in school and I'm hustling and doing a bunch of stuff related to my degree, and it's crazy out here. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but definitely. I love it. Yeah. Are you one of those people who just really loves going to school? Like, I have another friend in the industry and she's like, I'm just a perpetual student. I will always be going to school.
Absolutely not. No, okay. I left school in 2000. I gave it a little bit of a try in 2015. And then I was like, no, absolutely not. This is not for me. And I went like full blown into the, like, I'm just going to sell dildos. I'm going to work at an adult store. I'm going to do porn. I'm going to like work my way through the industry, and it's going to be amazing. This is my retirement plan. That being said, this is still my retirement plan. I do not plan on quitting phone sex anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I don't plan on doing quitting clips anytime soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want more. I don't know. I hit 30 and I just want more. Like, I just finally want to be able to say, like, I have a degree. Like, I am capable of doing this skill outside of the industry that I know a lot about now. I don't know. I also got sober in the last like 4 years. So I think that also changed my perspective a little bit too. Just like, I have this abundance of free time now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with it? Might as well study. Like,
Well, congratulations on your sobriety. I know that's like a very difficult journey. All of those things. It's, I don't know. I think it's important to stay busy. depending on one's, you know, mental fortitude. I mean, it's all relative. Because there's just so much life, though, and it's like, what gives you life? That's kind of how I think about it. I did the same thing, you know. Work had slowed down around the 2013 era for me, and I just was sitting there with no job prospects except for like camming, and I thought, you know, I'd like to know how to do something else, have some kind of a degree, whether it's from like a university institution like that or whether it's from like a trade school. So I did get a degree in massage therapy, or at least like a certification, whatever, like the base level one that you can get in the state of California, which I no longer live there. So I have the skills. I would just have to, you know, figure out the state that I'm currently living in's requirements to do that job and get that stuff done. But the point is, like, it's something I know how to do that does not involve me getting naked. So it's a good, it's good to have that knowledge.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like, I don't know, work was like really good when I backed away from it too. Like, I was making like very good, consistent money. And it's just like, you just want more sometimes. Like, you just, I don't know, it's nice to do more. It's nice to try something new. I feel like doing the same thing.
And it's goals, right? Like, I'm like, you know, there's something to be said. It's hard to, like, you don't want it to be that you're always like, well, but I can make more money, so how could I do that? But at the same time, it's like, all right, well, I'm doing pretty good and stable here, and that's great. But then it's kind of, how could I grow my business more? And that sort of being a little bit of a goal, because the more you're able to do that, then honestly, the less you have to work, because you can start allocating things to other people. Like, I have different assistants and stuff like that. And that way I can focus more energy on other pathways. And that's why the way I try to look at it, not so much like a greed mindset, and more of just a growth mindset, but not like infinite growth, like fucking capitalism. So I'm not trying to do that shit, but
yeah. I mean, you're also just like when you are employing people, like, you have the ability to give them, like, a good employer as well, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Like, it gives you power, and it gives them power because you're actually paying them, like, a decent wage and giving them work to do that isn't mind-numbing and just, like, busy work or whatever. And, like, it helps you, it helps them, it helps everybody.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Trying to make a better world. Trying to be the change we want to see, you know?
Trying to be the porn you want to see in the world.
That's right. That is fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
That's my studio. That's my studio's tagline. Be the porn you want to see in the world. Make the porn you want to see in the world. That's for sure. Let's see. So you're talking about phone sex. And so what that makes me think of right off the bat is Night Flirt. Is that what you use for the phone sex?
Oh, absolutely. I love Night Flirt. That's how I got my start in phone sex. I had no idea phone sex was still a thing.
I know, right?
Yeah, like one time, like I was maybe 21 or 22, and I was working at one of the first adult stores I'd worked at, because I worked at a couple different ones. And like this girl came in, and she was drunk, but she's like, "I'm a phone sex operator. It's great. You should try it sometime. You have a really hot voice." Like blah, 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 blah. And at that point, I'd been like a cam model for like, what, a year or something like that. But I like filed it away in the back of my mind. And then like I saw girls advertising it on Twitter. So I was like, well, let me just give this a try. Like camming, I'm 2 years into camming and I'm getting kind of like bored with it.
Yeah.
Like this is a recurring theme in my life. I wanted more. So I went on nightflirt.com and I had my phone line on, and of course I didn't get any calls for a while, and I had just put like a very simple profile, like my name on there is Nasty Girl Felicia, and my profile was something like, "Hi, I love telling stories and talking about sex, haha, I've had a lot of sex, I love it." And this guy calls me at like 6 a.m. and he's like, "I'm a peeping Tom, can I tell you about it?" And he talked on the phone with me for 2 hours, and that was the most money I'd made in I don't know how long on cam. So I was like, damn, this is my life now. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this work. And I did. And it's worked. It's been fantastic. That was 2017, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's you've been sticking strong with that just ever since?
Yeah, that's always my number one these days. That and Sex Panther.
Wow.
Love them both. Yeah. Hell, do you do it too? Are you a phone sex person?
I have an account on Sex Panther and Night Flirt. Mm-hmm. And actually, I even have an account on Minx, which is Sex Panther's like upper level, high profile.
What?
Yeah. Me? Yeah. That being said, it just came out. So it's a MYNX. But I have to be honest that it's hard to find the time to do that stuff. Because what I've noticed with Sexed Panther, and I mean, this would be true of Night Flirt as well, but I just don't get on there ever. But you have to promote, like you have to spend time on the socials getting your stuff out there, because people aren't just cruising on the site and they're like, oh, look, I can text this girl, I'm going to do it. It's just not really like that. So then I have to find the time. Okay, today I'm going to work on this to get people to text me or whatever. And I just – it's really hard for me to find that time because I'm so busy with like basically shoot stuff. So I lean more heavily into the content creation side of the sex work that I do. So – and that can take up a lot. It's a lot of work. It's a lot to like – collab and get things set up and then make sure everything's compliant with the clip stores, because that shit has gotten out of fucking control lately.
Oh, yeah.
But what I will say for sure, especially about Night Flirt, is that – so, for example, when I had my hip replacement surgery in 2015 – you know, I couldn't do anything for quite some time. So for the first like 2 weeks, I was just laid out, like couldn't do anything. And then for another, I think it was 2 months before I finally got the balls to like perform. And I still had a pretty gnarly scar on my leg, but it was with Courtney Trouble, and I felt safe with them, of course. And then, And then I shot for a couple other people where the scar was still pretty, it was like still red. I'll put it that way. You know, it takes a long time for such a hefty scar to start healing. Now you can barely see it, but at that time, you know, I got a couple bookings and stuff. That's how I eased back in. But for 2-3 months, I couldn't do any work, any modeling. And I just used Night Flirt and I was able to, it wasn't like enough for all of my bills and cost of living, but it was enough to, you know, help sustain me in a major way. So, and that just comes from putting the time in with it, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely good if you have an abundance of time. Like, yeah. There have been days I haven't left the house, multiple days. Like, I think it is perfect if you're like healing from something, or like if you're in a phase in your life where like you don't feel like getting ready for the camera, like you can't get ready for the camera, whatever.
Yes.
Like just laying back and waiting for the calls to come in and like keeping somebody company.
Yep.
Pun intended.
Oh yeah.
I love it. I'm so thankful for it. There's definitely been days where I've been like too depressed to like, you know, cam.
Definitely.
Or like shoot or like anything like that. Yes. And it's just like, well, let me go ahead and like not be alone. I'll be with somebody else that wants to talk for a few hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I'm with you too. Like, and it's the other thing that's interesting is whenever I do click it on for a while, the phone calls that I get are less often. Let's do like phone sex, and mm-hmm. more often like they want to have a conversation with me, Sin Sage, you know, as like, let me ask you all these questions about, you know, your career and stuff like that. Or I had one guy who was like, you need to come to where I live, because he lives in Montreal and mm-hmm. I've always wanted to visit and I've never been. And he's like, let me tell you about it. When are you going to be here? And like, la, la, la. And he'd go on like that for a while. I like that aspect of it too, though. Well, that's just sex work in general, right? I mean, sure, you have plenty of customers that are like, give me the sex stuff, give me the sex stuff. But there are many, many who just want to talk and connect with someone. And that's such an important part of the work that we do.
I feel like maybe we've talked to the same guy before. A guy from Montreal who like just talks a lot about not sex. And it's really into like lesbian porn and stuff. Like, but yeah, I mean, a lot of it is definitely just like keeping people company. Like, I mean, I love the calls where I get to like, and like I come on calls too. Like I use it as an excuse to masturbate, because like, sometimes I just like, I'll have so much going on that I'll forget. And then I'll be on the phone with somebody and then they'll be like, I want to make you fuck yourself. I want to hear you fuck yourself. And like sometimes I'll just get like really into it, or like I'll like mention like what my fetishes are and they're like, that's mine. We're going to talk about that right now. And then I'm like, oh my God, okay.
Like, yeah, totally.
So yeah, I'll get into that as well. I think that's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, like there's also the people that just want to talk for hours about like what they have going on. There's one guy that's like really into like I guess it would be like metaphysics. And like very like woo stuff, like healing yourself by like imagining like a white light that is like going to cleanse you completely.
Oh yes.
And he's like, I've done these money mantras for people and I've really helped them. And to be fucking honest, I talked to him just the other night and I got like a huge refund from the government this year, like more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
That hit like the next day. I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't lying. Like, he wasn't bullshitting. Like, there's really, like, everybody on there, I feel.
And it's nice to sort of get exposed to all these different ways of being and types of people, as long as it's all uplifting and positive, and as long as they don't hate on my identities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But do you have that happening too?
Generally speaking, no. Sometimes it's actually happened a few times on Twitter in the past like few months, where it's someone who's like, oh, wow, I love your stuff. And like, it's so great that you do this and da 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 da. And then like, I click on their profile and they're like, MAGA Republicans. And I'm just like, this does not align. And by the way, your party is trying to literally criminalize the work that I do. Like, if y'all win in 2024, mm-hmm. part of the agenda is criminalizing my job. And it's really easy for them to separate themselves from that and like compartmentalize that part of their own identity from the rest of their values. But in those cases, I think that's toxic, and it dehumanizes us again. It's like not seeing us as actual laborers creating something of value that they partake in, but cannot see our humanity inside of, you know? So it's frustrating. And I sort of try to encourage them to look at it from a different view, because I think the big excuse now when I bring that stuff up is that they're like, well, that'll never happen. That's not realistic. And I'm like, so it's easy to sit there and say that outside of it, but when this is what you do for a living and this is how you pay your mortgage and feed yourself, that is not just a threat that's like, it probably won't happen. It's like, why? It's hard to not take that seriously when this is how you make your life. So, but it's always a difficult thing. It's like this line, this balancing act you have to do between, you know, your job as like a sexual entertainer, but also that being a political aspect. Like, that is just, it is inherently political, and you can separate yourself from that. It's totally cool. And lots of people do. And fucking, there are times when I'm like, I just should, but that's just not my, that's the little fire in my heart just keeps on burning. So it's tough for me.
Yeah. I hear that. I mean, like, Bandit in Texas, like Pornhub isn't in Texas anymore.
Yeah.
And like with Project 2025 and everything like that, I've talked to friends that are like activists that are just now dealing with, you know, having their profiles be shadow banned and like people's profiles be like taken down. And I'm like, this has been happening to sex workers for years. Like, this is like, we told you, like, we've been talking about it for so long, and it's just happening to other people now, and it's just going to keep happening and keep happening.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know.
So there's that.
Yeah, there is that. it's a lot to think about. Like, that's another thing that makes me, like, I hate admitting this, but like, part of why I am like seeking more outside of the industry too is just like, is this going to be forever? And I know they do this shit to intimidate us, and I know they do this shit to try to encourage people not to become sex workers,
right?
Because if there's a threat of your bank account being shut down,
yeah,
if there's a threat of you being like outed to people, discriminated against, like not allowed housing, like, and that becomes a bigger and bigger thing. And with Project 2025 happening, if porn becomes like criminalized and people that create porn like become fucking like criminals, like, of course people aren't going to want to do it. And it sucks. Like, it really sucks that I feel this way. And that people have to feel this way, and that people are already feeling the effects of this. I hate it. I hate this country. I lived in New Zealand for a little bit when I was younger. I had like a work visa and was out there, and that was my first experience with sex work. Like, seeing it, you know, and experiencing what the other side can look like. And like, as I got deeper into my career in the US, I just realized like how much we don't have here. Like, you know, it's real fucked up, dude. Like,
So New Zealand decriminalized all sex work in 2003. So they actually worked with people who worked in the sex industry to write the legislation and all that stuff. And that's why they were able to get decriminalization. So it's really incredible down there. My only thing, so it's always been the dream to find a way to move to New Zealand. That's just like, that's the dream. I went there in 2013 for 3 weeks. I have a friend that lives out there.
I was there in 2013.
What?
Wait, when were you there in 2013?
It would have been February.
Okay, no, I was there like August onwards, I think.
The winter. Yeah, I wanted to go in the summer. And it was hot. Oh my gosh. So many sheep. And it was cool because, like, I flew into Wellington. My friend lived down in Dunedin, which is the southern part of the Southern Island. Wellington is the southern part of the Northern Island. She drove up, picked me up from the airport. We traveled all the way over the Northern Islands. We went to Fiji for 3 days. So that was a cool little bonus trip out of Auckland. And then we went to the Shire.
What's the Shire?
The Shire is where the Lord of the Rings movies
Oh.
start. So it's the Hobbit land, Hobbiton, technically. And then we did go to the Southern Island and we went to Dunedin, but we didn't get to explore down there as much because she was kind of like she needed to do some more work. But it was great. And I've wanted to go back ever since. And of course, I want to take my husband and he wants to go. And we want to do the thing where we like travel for 3 months, like take up the whole vacation visa and rent a van down there and live in the van and travel New Zealand. So that's on the little dream bucket list, not too far out of reach. Just got to plan it and make it happen. But
I really hope you can.
me
It's
too.
yeah,
And
dude.
then maybe like if so, if the 2024 thing or 25 thing does happen, and they do criminalize my work, maybe we can get some kind of asylum. I was actually looking into that. My only thing now is that they also just so since the amazing Prime Minister decided to retire, they elected someone who is very much. I don't know if he's like Trump as far as social regulations, like being anti-gay and stuff, but he's a businessman, not a politician, a businessman, and they just elected him to be the prime minister. So I'm not sure, like a conservative businessman. So, and it's gonna, the fascism is spreading. Like it's not just here, it's Europe. There's like a new Nazi party coming up in Germany, even of all places. And I know Italy is struggling, and even Canada is kind of being like catching our illness. So where can we go? I don't know. I know a lot of people. I know a few people have moved to Portugal, and
Really?
Portugal is also. Drugs are decriminalized. Sex work is decriminalized. And it's not difficult to emigrate there. It doesn't require much. So something to think about. It's a little bit of an exit plan. If they want to throw us in jail for the work that we do, probably gonna have to just sell the house and see about leaving the country. I don't know. It's tough. It's scary.
It is very scary.
But yes, that being said, with the phone sexting, with night flirt. So I've noticed when I've done it and I'm talking to someone on the phone, it'll probably be less labor for me and easier if I just was talking fantasy and just talking about it. But I kind of can't help but like put my hands on my body and sort of act out what I'm talking about. Do you have that too sometimes?
What do you mean? In what way? Like, act out what exactly? Whoa.
I bet there are like people who are just masters at the phone sex and they just sit there and they're able to just use their voices. I can't do that. I have to physically like be doing what I'm talking. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I've definitely been okay. I get what you're saying. I was like, do you mean like do I spank myself? Like, but
Mean, if they're asking me to spank myself,
if
I
they yes, if they ask me to spank myself, I do. If they ask me to touch my pussy, I do. If like I'm supposed to be grabbing their dick, I definitely do like air motion, grab the dick and like jerk it sometimes. And like I talk like if I talk about like straddling somebody, I'll just like kind of like move my hips around, be like, oh, I get on top of you and I start grinding my pussy up against you, and then I do like my little like shimmy in my bed, and I'm like, I wonder if like he hears my bed creaking right now, like that doesn't completely like match with what we're doing, but okay. And then like, yeah, oh, I definitely do that too. Or like, oh, I talk about like foot worship with people. And like, I definitely have a foot fetish. And I'll grab my own foot and like be like feeling on my wrinkles and like feeling like the grip of my toes.
Oh, yeah.
Describing that to people.
Yes. All of that. Anything you can, like, mime, mm-hmm. like, just doing that. I'm just doing yeah. that. Just makes it, like, it makes it easier. I don't know. It makes it easier for me. And I'm sure they love to hear your bed squeaking. You know what I'm saying? Like, they love that.
Makes it more real.
Yeah, totally. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. Okay, so let's move on to, because you were talking about that you got married recently. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about that a little bit? Like, yeah. how long have you been with your partner and how did you meet? And what was the, how did the sort of, you know, the sex work aspect of your life?
Yeah. So we met on the apps.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Hinge. We were together for a year, and on our year anniversary, we got married. Very mm-hmm. romantic.
Super.
I mean, we're like both in our 30s, and we were like, I have been wanting to get married for a long time. He was also looking to settle down. I haven't been in a relationship with anybody like him where we get along so well, and everything just like lined up perfectly. And yeah, it worked out really well. He's also very pro sex work.
Yay!
He knows that it would be deeply hypocritical as a porn watcher to be like, well, my person can't do porn. Like, no, he's a very, very intelligent person, and he knows like how fucked up that is. And no, he doesn't get jealous or anything like that. Ultimately, like, I'm the one that he ends up in bed with every night.
Damn straight.
So it's like, yeah. I'm so thankful about that. And like, yeah, I mean, when I was dating, I would be very straight up with everybody. Like first conversation, like, I'm a sex worker.
Yep.
Even like when I was in school and I was like dating people and like stepping away a little bit, it'd be like, I'm a sex worker. It's all over the internet. So now what? And like, yes. he was very receptive to that. He's also a musician, and he's been a musician for a really long time. So like mm-hmm. on our first date, he was like, oh, I was in like magazines when I was younger and I used to tour a lot and do all this. And I'm like, well, I was in magazines too. And I also toured all around the US. And like, we have this like ongoing joke where we call ourselves niche micro celebrities because it's true.
Yeah. That's super
true. It's
true. Micro like, celebrity. That's, mm-hmm. yeah.
Like, we have a lot of crossover in, like, our past. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I was looking for a long time, too. Somebody that would just, like, get it.
Yes, you know? Like, totally.
I think that musicians and also porn stars have a lot in common.
Yep, agree. And tattoo artists.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Because they tour. And mm-hmm. I think it's just, like, sort of creative fields.
Absolutely.
Creative fields where you work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, like, there's a lot of crossover, a lot in common. Comedians I talk about a lot, too.
Dated some of those. Dated some tattoo artists,
yes, I bet.
Yes. Oh, yeah. But, yes. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like those are the types of people I always, like, got. They got it, and I got them, because yes. ultimately, like, we are just performers.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, and then at home you get like the real, like, not the real Felicia, but the Felicia that isn't on camera.
Yeah,
the Felicia that is knitting a sweater and baking for you and everything like that.
Of course, all the other elements of you as a whole human being.
Yes. So, yeah. Shout out pro sex work partners. They're out there. Honesty is the best policy. Be yourself. That is what got me my sweet, loving husband that I love so much. So,
yeah, totally. That's how I feel too. And it is something that, you know, I was single for a brief period of time, but mm-hmm. I was just like, when I was meeting people, when I met a person who's now my husband, it mm-hmm. was just like, first thing I told him is, this is what I do for a living. He said, what do you do for a living? I mean, seriously, like a few minutes after we met. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm a porn star, a lesbian porn star. Like, that's it. So make your mm-hmm. decision now if that's something you're going to be able to vibe with or not. Because I'm not wasting my time on people who don't value my humanity.
Absolutely. <You know?
laughs> so, and I think, you know, it's just, there is no point in waiting to have those conversations. It's mm-hmm. you have to talk about your political affiliation, whether you want kids or not, and whether you believe in a religion or not, and mm-hmm. which one. Those are the first, like, that's, if not first date, second date. Mm-hmm. Like, get that out of the way immediately, because, you know, there's these stories that I hear all the time of people who are just like, well, now that we've been together for 8 years and I really want to have kids, even though when we got in the relationship, he said he didn't want kids, but I just figured maybe he'd change his mind. And it's like, don't do that.
Yeah, like, no.
Have the conversation right away so you know what you're getting into, because that is unfair expectation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I feel like people just don't want to be alone and don't want to be lonely at all costs sometimes, you know, so they yeah. ignore those conversations and yes. very important things about people. I hear all the time about sex workers, like, not telling people or like dragging yeah. it out as long as possible or saying they do something else. And it's just like, or just like not showing the real them. And it's just like, you need to put yourself out there, like, maybe not all at once, but like make it very clear who you are and what you believe in and
yep.
everything like that. Because if it doesn't align, it's not going to work out. Like,
exactly.
And as do much you as you want it to, it's not.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. do you want to be with a person who likes the fake persona you've made or someone who likes you?
You exactly. know?
That's the real thing right there, as far as I'm yeah. concerned. Mm-hmm. So when you first were – how old were you when you first started doing sex work? Then it sounds like you were in school already.
Yeah.
Or you were already doing it when you went to college?
So I'm 30, and mm-hmm. I started when I was 20. I started working in porn stores when I was 19.
Oh, right,
and
right.
And it was like the porn stores with like the glory holes in the back and the jerk-off booths.
Oh, yes, jerk-off booths.
It was insane. I saw so much shit. And yeah, when I was 20, I really got into it. I was on, like, you know, Craigslist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rest in peace to that beautiful website that I miss so much. And mm. I was on the cam sites.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I did school before that. Didn't end up pursuing what I went to school for. Gave school yeah. another try. Yeah. Wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm back. Third time's the charm.
That's right.
So yeah. So it's been, yeah, I started when I was 20. It's pretty crazy. Like, it's, I see, like, oh my goodness, girls will like follow me now. And some of these girls remind me of myself when I was 20.
Yeah.
And they'll be like 20 and 21. And I'm yep. just like, ah, like, I could be your mom in oh. porn. I can be your porn mom. The movie where I'm 30 and you're 20 and I'm your mom,
yeah.
because that's how porn works. But
yeah,
like,
it is.
Which makes me want to reach out to them and shoot with them. But then it's also totally. Just like very surreal, like mm-hmm. to just have it all come full circle like that. Like, damn, I feel yeah. like I know exactly what you're going through right now, and good luck.
Yeah, yeah, it was totally surreal, because when I was in my, you know, early and mid 20s, and mm-hmm. I was the younger in the older younger scenes, mm-hmm. and then, you know, when I reached the point where now I was 34 working with a 19-year-old, and I was like, oh my goodness, the yeah. roles have changed. And
yeah.
and it was just like, wow, this is happening. And then I'm thinking all the thoughts in my head of how what I was thinking when I was, you know, 24 doing a scene with a girl who's like 35. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh man, what are they thinking about me?
Exactly.
Like, so hopefully I'm not too much of a troll or anything. I never felt like that about any yeah. of the people that I worked with, but
I'm
I don't know. I just worry.
Mm-hmm. I guess like when I would interact with like older porn stars, I'd be like, oh my God, they just have so much like experience and like they're so hot, but they're like old. And when you're young, you see, like I would see a 30-year-old when I was 20 and be like, damn, that's old. Like,
oh my gosh, whoa. Yes.
Like, and they look so good. How does that happen?
Yes. And yes. And I remember being, I remember saying to another porn star who it was her 30th birthday and she's fucking gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God. And I said the dreaded thing, wow, you look so amazing for 30. Ugh. And now, like, I cannot, like, I cringe so hard, especially as a 40-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, now I understand why people hate, why that's such a terrible thing to say. So, listeners, please don't ever tell someone they look so good for their age. Just say you look amazing. You could say, wow, you look amazing. And I feel like that is the best way to do it. Don't be like, oh my God, for a 40-year-old hag, you look really good. Like, that's not cool.
I'm still trying to figure out how I receive hearing stuff like, I thought you were 21.
Yeah.
I thought you were 24.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
It is weird.
Older, but it's so cool being old. Like, it feels fucking rad having gotten to this age, and I'm looking forward to being 42.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, it's, I don't know, gratitude. Especially, and aging like fine wine. Like,
that's right.
I
don't know.
I feel like a lot of the porn girlies, just like as they get older, they just get so much hotter. It adds like a new dimension to like their hotness, you know?
I do know.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're living it. You know?
It's so interesting looking back on yourself when you were younger and taking stock of the ways you felt as you got older, and then looking at yourself now and be like, I'm older. And then I always try to, when I see people older than me, the first thought I try to have in my head is like, that's gonna be me someday. So that way it's never like, Oh, 50 and you're doing what now? And I'm like, well, that's going to be me. So what am I going to do? You know? And I try to remember just, fuck, that's going to be me someday. Don't ever forget that. if I'm lucky enough to make it to that age. It's a good way of looking at life.
You've probably seen this. Like every 5 years, I just gain like a bigger following, it feels. Like, it's just like the older you get, you have all of the old fans and then you have the new crop of fans that have just turned like 20, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, mommy. And then you have the people remember you as like the fresh face. And they're like, oh my God, like Felicia, oh my God, Sin, you're so beautiful. You're always so beautiful. Like, I think as you get older, you have more value, you know?
Of course.
You're just like, like more and more and more clients, more people that like love you and love your work, more stuff, like more work behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, getting old is cool, especially in the adult industry.
Absolutely.
Like, fuck everybody that like has anything to say otherwise.
Yeah.
I feel like those people aren't even like, don't understand how the industry works.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, if you recall, the first time that you discovered the existence of porn / adult entertainment. Do you have a story?
I don't have a Woods porn story. Okay. I know that's a common one.
It is, but it's also, it's an age thing. So, you know, you were born 10 years after me. Mm-hmm. And by the time you were becoming of the age of looking into finding that sort of thing, it was less out in the wilderness and more on your computer at home. So there's definitely a line in the sand of generationally, but what was yours?
I will say, though, a bit after that, I did find Alley Porn, and it was a leg show magazine, and that like opened my mind up to like the idea that guys could worship legs.
But you did find some.
I found Alley Porn.
You found some analog porn.
But before
that wasn't your first,
yes, it's, you have to. Everyone has to. I guess these kids these days won't, but exactly. These young people these days.
Yeah.
But so long ago on the internet, I was on, like, it was either MySpace or VampireFreaks.com.
Oh, yeah. VampireFreaks.com.
Because I was young and I was alt, and I found the profile of Rubber Doll.
Oh!
Who still performs.
Rubber Doll. I worked with Rubber Doll one time.
Really?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She, it blew my fucking mind. Like, latex stuff? Like, lot of the first porn I saw was, like, fetish porn. Like,
definitely.
Like that, and then, like, going to the Borders and seeing, like, Bizarre Magazine.
Oh, my God. Bizarre Magazine.
I wanted to be in Bizarre Magazine so fucking bad.
Oh, my God, girl.
That was my goal when I was younger.
Understandable.
I wanted it so bad. I was, like, I mean, of course, I have a shitload of tattoos, but when I was younger, I was also quite alt. And, like, yeah. It was just, like, goals to be one of the, like, what are they, the Vixens? Is it the Ultra Vixens? It's something, whatever the Girl of the Month was, like, the softcore spreads in there.
Oh,
I wanted that.
So bad.
And so it was stuff like that. So, yeah, it was, like, a little combo of, like internet porn, thanks to, like, MySpace and, like, the other, like, forum sites. And then, like, alley porn, Borders, books. Like, all of that. But it was all, like, fetish porn. And
right.
I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. I grew up to be someone very into, like, fetishes, so.
Yes. Okay. When you're saying Borders books, you mean the old bookstore that was called Borders?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Is it Borders books?
Yeah. No, it's Borders. Okay. There's also one called B. Dalton. And then that was before, of course, Barnes & Noble took over and dominated the landscape of bookstores. And now it's like Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But back in my day, you walked into a retail store and found books on their shelves. And also magazines, like you'd find Bizarre and stuff like that. So they didn't have porn. They didn't have like Playboy, but they had like softcore, like you're saying, and Bizarre was definitely like a softcore, but it was fetishy, but it was also so alt. I mean, honestly, if that magazine still existed, I probably would still subscribe to it, because you could find out about all the disturbing movies. They had bizarre, disturbing, like artists and art projects and articles about just all kinds of stuff. I remember reading an article about self-harm that wasn't like sort of the parental judgmental topic. It was more coming from the perspective of people who had participated in self-harm, something I did when I was younger too, but from that perspective. So it wasn't judgmental. It was curiosity. I really think it was an important magazine. It introduced me to, like trans issues. That's probably like some of the first, my first understandings of that, and actually hearing from trans people, which Buck Angel was the first time I had seen an FTM person. And I was so intrigued and fascinated with that. And then of course I went on to meet Buck Angel, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to meet you. And then, you know, 2016, 17, 18, 2020, and the political divide started to happen. And then Buck Angel, unfortunately, fell on the wrong side of trans issues, as far as I'm concerned. But it's unfortunate to see that happen, especially when, again, that was like one of the people that really enlightened me or started my enlightenment journey with regards to transness and stuff like that. So, point being, it was an important magazine. And I remember too, Masumi Max was always in that magazine. And then I met her last year at AVN for the first time and was just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Then she passed away in January, and it was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Hope her family's doing okay and all that stuff. But full circle. Talk about full circle stuff. Like, wow.
Definitely. Very full circle. I have a PDF of a bunch of issues if you're interested.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Someone was selling it on Etsy a while ago, what? And I was like six, so I bought it and I was just like reading it on my phone. I can look for it and send it to you. Yeah.
Sensage@gmail.com, please. Okay. I will definitely check that out on my free time.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm sure you also then would have been hearing about Suicide Girls.
Yes. Oh, of course. Like that. Oh my goodness. So of course, like me and all my little emo friends when I was in like sixth and seventh and eighth grade, we're like, oh my God, we're going to be Suicide Girls one day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole thing. And by the time I became of age, I don't really know if it was a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like scared to like be out in the world when I was just like 22. Like I was very low key about everything I did. Like my free cans was like it. And that was like 2014. Yeah, I don't know if, I don't even know if Suicide Girls was a thing at that point. Yeah.
2014. I feel like it was probably heading out. And it was sort of a thing where it's like you had to go and find your own photographer and you took a photo set and then you sold them the photo set or something. I feel like that was how their model worked. And I was just like, eh. Especially at that point, I was already getting paid by photographers to, you know, and I was like working in the industry a lot. And I was like, I'm not doing all that.
Yeah, there was something too. I think on Tumblr, somebody said that this model that I really liked named Apnea.
Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds familiar.
She was an alt model that is gorgeous and on the internet still. I think I found her like within the last 5 years, but something like she got ripped off by Suicide Girls or her photographer did or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it like became a whole thing on Tumblr and then other people were talking about their experiences. And I was like, you know, I'm like hot and alt and you don't really need a platform like Suicide Girls anymore to like thrive, I think. So
exactly.
I'm just going to show my pussy on my free cams.
Yeah. Totally. Like,
yeah. And I did. And I probably made more than I would have at Suicide Girls.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, sort of the fact that we can all just do it ourselves now, that, you know, we've got a little studio on our cell phones. It's just, we don't, those sorts of institutions kind of sort of fall by the wayside, I think, for all those reasons.
Yeah.
Next, I want to ask about how you identify sexually and with your gender identity as well, and what that was like for you to discover, and how does that work into your relationship and relationship model?
So when I was like middle school, I had my first kiss from a girl. Yeah. I was really into this girl. I really liked this girl. She ended up telling me she was straight after. It broke my heart. Which very I think painful. Led to me, dating a bunch of guys and having a really bad time. really bad time, especially because like my best friend all throughout high school was like super gay. And like I reflect back on that and like her parents thought we were dating, my parents thought we were dating, we probably could have just dated.
I know,
like, you know, especially since like she started dating girls that like were really alt too, like after.
Damn.
I've been connecting some things in therapy in the recent
time.
But I'm not straight. I don't know. I like, I mean, when I was younger, I think the names for things have like changed a little bit. There's like the concept of being bi or the concept of being like pan or like the concept of being like whatever. And I think that I'm like somewhere in there. I really don't care what somebody's like gender is, as long as we vibe. Like that's like the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Like I think my tastes are very broad. And if I'm into you, I'm into you. Yeah. And I mean, I remember being in high school and just being like, I don't feel like a girl. I don't feel like any gender. And that would have been like 2010, 2011. And I don't think it was very like, not a lot of people had words for these things yet. Or it
totally.
Wasn't concept that you know the public talked about, especially like they do now.
Oh, so yeah.
I just like remember having that very clear thought and then kind of just like feeling that way for a long time. And then, you know, drinking and doing a lot of drugs and not really exploring that, which like sucks, I think. But yeah, I don't, I guess non-binary is a term that I would use. I don't really like, I think it's just like, I don't really think about gender stuff like at all. I just kind of like cruise through life. And I don't know, like a lot of people I know have like very strong self-awareness about like, I'm this and I am that. And that is who I am, period, point blank. And like, personally, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just here. Like, I'm definitely not straight. I definitely don't feel like a woman. I don't think I feel like a dude exactly, but I'm just like out here. And thankfully, my partner feels very similarly in some ways. So, I mean, our relationship doesn't have gender roles or anything like that. Yeah. We just support each other and we are just trying to get through life together. And that's just how it's been. I have reflected to like being a sex worker that's like super femme presenting, like what would life have been like if that wasn't like my whole like career, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know if you ever have thoughts like this. I don't know if you.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, dude. Like, and I have spoken to other sex workers where like, if they're like, presentation wasn't tied to what they did, like what would it be like what would life be like? I wonder that a lot, but I mean, it is what it is. Like
I try not to think about it in a sort of like a negative way, like my self-expression is hindered because of the work that I do, but sometimes a little bit it might be just because for sure I'd have more tattoos by now. But the other side of that is that like, while I do want more and it is definitely time for me to get another one, I am also super picky about what I'm going to permanently put onto my body. And I want to make sure I have an artist that I have researched what they do. And I want it to be, I look at it more like my body as this canvas, of course, but as this like a wall in my house, and I'm trying to curate art that I want to put on the wall. This, of course, though, being something that's permanent forever, and I can't just take it off and then put up something else. So I think of it kind of like that. So that is what I think keeps me from really going for it. But I'm kind of glad, because I think in my 20s, I would have made some terrible decisions.
As you do. Absolutely.
But I've been thinking, you know, I kind of feel like I'm always thinking about gender a lot, and it does have something for sure to do with sort of the politicization of it over the past decade or so. And when I was younger and these issues weren't being discussed as much, I think what I was feeling for myself was more just sexiness and what that felt like in the boundaries of the social norms of what sexiness is. And now that we have, our minds are sort of opened in these ways where there's more to think about and consider. So for me, I feel like my best gender description is just gender fluid. And then I talk about it so femininity, I've never identified with femininity. Personally, on any level, really. Like when people are like, oh, I love that, it's so feminine, I'm like, not for me though. Like I don't, you know, I'm not connected to that. But so then when I was thinking just like last week about femininity and masculinity, and I'm kind of like, well, what does that even mean? Like, why is it that masculine is associated with this like different expressions of kind of like power, and femininity is associated with like a certain softness? Like, who says? And I don't like that. Like, politically, I feel like that's kind of wrong. So for me to even say that there are these times when I feel like I'm leaning more into my masculine energy, like I do say that sometimes, but now I'm questioning that is maybe not even not so much accurate, but like almost just correct, because there's so much of, it's just such a spectrum. And so I don't feel like non-binary is the thing for me, but sometimes I feel like just a gender, mm-hmm. like without it, just can I just like be in this space where it's not, you know, black or white?
It isn't like I have these expectations as like a woman to do something. Right. But I don't have these expectations as like a man to do something. That's real. That's very yes. real. And I've also felt that way about like, why is this a feminine thing? Mm-hmm. Why is this a masculine thing? And like, I spoke to a phone sex client actually who was like, I don't know. It was like a very long night. And like, they were like, you know, I use these labels to describe myself because that's how you build community and that's how you find people that have the same mindset as you. And that's why like calling myself femme is something that I need because it makes me feel like I'm living my truest self. And I was like, damn, that's real as fuck. And exactly. I never had anybody like break it down like that for me because I was like, you know, I don't really like get like why girl, why a guy, like for myself, mm-hmm. like why non-binary? Mm-hmm. Like why do people ascribe to these like ideas like so strongly? And for some people, they need it. They want it. Yes. It's a big part of who they are as a person. 100%. And I respect that. But yeah, like very same. Like I really don't feel like I ascribe to that sort of stuff. And like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll call myself a wife. I just like being called a wife. But that yeah. doesn't like mean anything. Like it doesn't mean like I have like wifely duties or any shit like that.
Exactly.
Like, no. And my husband's like a husband, but it doesn't mean that he's like the breadwinner or there's any like expectations or anything. Like, exactly. I mean, of course, in 2024, who's going to be the breadwinner when everybody's yeah. fucking broke? But like,
right. like we're all just trying
we're
to
all
win some
working
bread.
Out here. But like, yeah, no, we don't like ascribe to those like ideas or anything like that. And it's not yeah. written down like that because it's just like, for some people, it doesn't work. And for us, exactly. that doesn't work. And for some yes. people, it does work. But
yes, 100% agree on all that yeah. stuff. And you're right, because I was in some Reddits and stuff, and it's just like the young people are like, well, I don't know. Am I this? What is my sexuality? And it sounds like they're freaking out about like what their label's going to be. And I do understand that it is important. But what I feel like is for let's say young, or any person who is just like really like sort of having high anxiety over what their label is, it's like, hey, it's cool. Like just be queer. You could just say mm-hmm. that. That's how I identify. I just, with my sexual identity, I'm just queer. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I have to write out a short essay to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead I'm just like, I'm queer. I'm like, you can just be queer for now. And mm-hmm. as you explore these identities and you look into them soon and you think about less maybe the identity itself and more about yourself, go inwards. What is it that you like? What do you notice you're attracted to? What do you notice turns you off? Mm-hmm. And then like figure that part out first and then maybe find a label that you can affix to yourself, but also know with certainty that over the years that thing gets real wavy. And, you know, I feel like sometimes it depends on my hormone level. It depends mm-hmm. on my environment. It depends. It's like, just what am I feeling today? What am I feeling this month? What am I feeling this year? Like, it's just, it's wavy. It moves around. Mm-hmm. It changes. And like, it goes away from and it comes back to and all this stuff. And that's oh fucking K. Like, it's not, absolutely. You don't have to like, you know, scribe into stone the thing that you are and just be that for the rest of your life. Like,
definitely.
You can also just like do what you like and be with who you're attracted to at the moment.
Yeah.
So it'll all work yeah. out.
You have time. Like, yeah. you don't need to figure this out. Have experiences. Base yeah. your stuff off your experiences. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So what's your like relationship model, the two of you? I mean, are you guys just monogamous? Are you monogamous except for work, or like what does that look like?
We're monogamous. And yeah. I like it that way. Like when I was younger, I thought like I would need an open relationship. Like I thought that is exactly what I wanted in my life. And I dated people where they would like you know, have other partners and stuff like that. And they would tell me about it and mm-hmm. I was happy for them and they were happy for me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at this stage in my life, it's just like, I'm done. I'm done putting myself out there like that. I like having just my partner and I want to keep it that way. But I mean, but then it's like, you could also say like, well, if you're a sex worker, technically, aren't you like talking dirty to a bunch of people? And it's like, well, yes, I am. And yes, I'm enjoying myself, but I don't, it's a completely different thing, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and we have boundaries too. I mean, like yep. there's certain things that now that I am in a monogamous relationship, I don't feel like doing with other people, or yep. there are things that would make my partner uncomfortable and I want to mm-hmm. respect that. So
totally.
That's just how that is. And yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. And yeah, I mean, that's
yeah, so it,
what we do. And it works for me.
And yes, super lovely.
Like I was like celibate for like a whole year before we got together too, just to like sit with myself wow. and like think about like what I like truly wanted.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Like I got started young, so I had a lot of sex and I had yeah. a lot of situationships and relationships and things like that. And mm-hmm. I saw everything I've needed to see.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like I've yeah. seen enough. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm ready to just be with my partner.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I love and it. Especially too, just when it comes to the sex work aspect, you know, that it's like, again, that it's a different kind of compartmentalization. It's just, mm-hmm. that's work. And while work can be fulfilling and fun and feel great and all that stuff, it still is different. Like, this is how I earn the money to sustain mm-hmm. the life that we have together. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I wouldn't be going and talking to these people on the phone and having phone sex if there wasn't money attached to it, you know, mm-hmm. probably not. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't.
Motivation's a big thing for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I think that it would go into the bounds of cheating if it was like, I
purely for fun. Yeah.
And I want to get off with like a stranger, but
yes.
because it's sex work, it's like, well, yes, I'm going to get off with this stranger, but also it's sex work, babe. Like,
yeah exactly. You know,
there, it's no strings attached, literally.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Like,
and so,
you don't need to worry about me. Like,
totally. So,
yeah. But, like, I mean, yeah. Yeah. Like, he knows we're shooting together. And, like,
yeah, I was gonna say, we're going to be doing stuff.
We're going to be doing stuff. We're going to love it. We're going to love it. And we're going to make
yeah.
some hot ass videos.
Yep.
But, like, yeah, he's like, good. I hope you have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the way. That is the best way. And then just making your own rules and boundaries, which I just mm-hmm. think every coupleship, every partnership needs to do that, needs to have a conversation. You can't just assume. I don't think mm-hmm. you can just enter a relationship and be like, hey, now we're boyfriend, girlfriend, and cool, it's perfect. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, they're going to be following all these rules. And in their mind, they're like, well, they're going to be following all these rules, but you're not fucking having a conversation about it? No, mm-hmm. you have to talk about what the rules are, like for yourselves. And sometimes for some people who are more into open relationships, the rules can be super relaxed and barely there at all. And for other people, it's just like, nope, these are all the rules and they're very strict. And mm-hmm. this is how it is. If you want to have a relationship with me, I think that's the important thing is that communication. Obviously we're the same. Like I call us monogamous. Like that's, we are, but my job makes it a little different that I'm with women and then as a couple in our personal life, not on camera, we do enjoy having a woman with us in bed together mm-hmm. if they are so inclined.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's kind of a little bit monogamish.
Mm-hmm.
Monogamish.
I mean, yeah. But at that point, it's like you guys are just like having a friend over.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very like monogamy plus a little something.
Yeah, extra. Monogamy plus. That's a good way of putting it. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought swinging was cool. I don't know
yeah.
if that's something that is ever going to be like explored, but I think it's cool. And I've been the third for people before too, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, like I get, like I love those boundaries. Love
yeah.
boundaries. Where it's just like in that like situation, it's just like, I'm here to serve this purpose right now, which is to make everybody come and go home. And that's cool. That's really cool.
Well, we try to, I think when we've got a third, when we have a unicorn in bed with us, it's very much focused on her. And I'm kind of like, can I just make you come? Can we both just make you come as many times as possible? That's kind of, but that's what's fun and cool about it is there's just different varieties of options for whatever the adventure might be. Definitely. I always think too that, you know, I think about myself, okay, well, we've been together for like almost 13 years and definitely how I know we feel now, we like it exactly the way things are. And when we think about a relationship, like bringing in a person as like a third in a relationship way or something like that, I think we're both a little bit like, this is enough emotional labor, like what we've got now. But my mind is open. I'm not, and I feel like as we get older, those things might morph more and relax and change in different ways. And I'm open to that possibility. For now, I'm beautiful with the way things are. But you know, hopefully we're together for another 20, 30 years until we die. So until that happens, like there's a lot that can change. And
definitely. Things can be fluid too, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Relationship fluid. I'm into it. Well, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and ideas with us. And I'd like even more of them. Is it cool if we answer a couple of advice questions from my listeners here?
Let's do it. Let's go.
All right. So let's see. All right. So the first one, this is from Hoser Runner. Hope I'm saying that right. All right. I've been a fan for ages. I love how you use your platform for good and social justice issues that truly matter to you. They love the podcast. Awesome. Okay. So the question is, in past episodes, you and guests have mentioned the sex you have on camera is based in fantasy. It dawned on me that you also perform with your husband partner. Is the separation of private and performance sex a challenge? Wow, that's so cool because we were like really just talking about that. From previous podcasts, I'd imagine clear boundaries and professional expectations by consenting adults is probably the way forward. You're appreciated and congrats on the Hall of Fame recognition. Toot toot my own horn. I think it was well deserved.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, okay. So it really is a question sort of about those boundaries and the difference between, you know, personal sexual encounters versus professional sexual encounters, et cetera. Is that a challenge? How do you feel about that, Felicia? And do you ever or have you ever done performance, even if it's just like a cam show or a clip or something with your husband?
Not with my husband. We've talked about it, but I don't know. That's something that isn't really on the forefront of our minds.
Especially because he's a musician. Maybe.
Yeah. That's a big commitment, you know. But I mean, I have with like other partners. And it's funny because, I mean, you'll see it next week. Like when I'm shooting a video, like I get really into it and I love it. But then there's like those moments where you're like, okay, cut. Wait, we need to fix a shot.
All right.
So wait, let me grab the dick. Let me
hold it this way.
All right. Okay, let's go.
Am I opening up to the camera? Can you see this? Is the lighting good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, I think that is just like one example of how like, yes, you can be into it, but in the back of your mind, it's always just like, okay, is this good? Does this look good? Does this person feel good? Are we doing good? Yep. Like, are we like, as much as I like enjoy what I'm doing, whether it's like getting fucked or like sucking dick or like giving someone the strap or like whatever, mm-hmm. or just like doing crazy role plays with like Puck or something like that. Like ultimately yeah. in the back of my mind, like, you know, there's other stuff going on and it isn't just about like, I'm going to get my nut. It's like, it's yeah. like, how does everyone else feel right now? And how does the shot look? Mm-hmm. And are we doing this right? I don't
know. No, yeah, exactly.
Does that answer the question? Like,
yeah, I think so. Yeah, right? I believe it does. Because yeah, I feel the same way. There's just this, I'm not sure at which stage in the career it starts to take over, but it's definitely comes with experience. And mm-hmm. at a certain point, you've developed this little being that lives in your brain. And when the camera is on and pointed at you, this little being is activated. And so mm-hmm. while there's a part of you that is like, enjoying it. And I know for me too, I very much try, especially if I'm just doing like a girl sex scene, I am trying to embody myself with the desire. So I look at the body of the partner that I'm with and I want to, and I touch it and I soak it in, and enjoy it. But, and that, it's so hard to describe it this way because that is part of the performance as well. Mm-hmm. And even if there isn't a camera on, I'm like doing those same things, but it's just, there's just, it's different somehow. And it might be ineffable. It might be something that I just can't really put the words to, but mm-hmm. that little being in my brain is just turned on and it does change an element of the sexual experience. Mm-hmm. And it is geared towards knowing that you're making a performance, and performance sex is going to be a little bit different than, you know, when you're just at home having sex with your partner without a camera on and without making content out of it. I hope that when I do make the content that you can feel the desire and the intimacy when you're viewing it. So I guess it's like, the goal is to achieve as much of that as possible, but still, again, while being professional. So if I'm working with other people, it's like, is everyone being respected? I'm not trying to just take for me my own personal self, mm-hmm. which is something I think a lot of, especially amateur men trying to break into the industry, I feel like I hear that. And I feel like I've even seen it in some circumstances, like, oh, they just are trying to get laid. Mm-hmm. And not like, oh, they're just actually, they've got a store and they're making content and they're trying to be respectful of everyone. It's like, do you know what I mean? Like there is just this,
yeah.
there's a difference there. So I just, it's like you said, Hose Runner with, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, but, but yeah, the clear boundaries and the professional expectations, obviously consenting adults, you know, it's not challenging, if that's the question. And I don't know if that's due to the fact, again, that, you know, Felicia's been doing it for 10 years. I've been doing it for more than 20 years. It's just, it's not challenging. It's, in fact, pretty simple mm-hmm. for me at this point.
Yeah. It's definitely a muscle you work out, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. That's really accurate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it just becomes a part of your job, mm-hmm. you know, and then when it is a personal experience, I honestly believe that I've learned a lot from my professional experiences to bring to my personal experiences as far as how to, you know, just making sure the consent is there and making sure the respect is there and all of those things. If we are like having a threesome or something along those lines. So they sort of, yeah, feed each other in that interesting way. And so the point, the goal is always still to have fun and have a good time and be authentic. And hopefully that's all coming across. I hope I answered that question in the way.
Yeah, I think that was perfect. I think that was honest and yeah, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
That was very good. That was good.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. All right. So the last one is from G. Let's see. I've followed you on one platform or another for over 5 years. Okay, blah, blah. Just more ego inflating for me. Okay, so G says, I was thinking about getting a tattoo of you to show my admiration, but it also made me wonder, do you or your guest have tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, is there a specific tattoo that holds a special place for you? Awesome. Oh my gosh. I can't believe. So this person wants to get a tattoo of me.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah. So it's not the first time I have I've seen some tattoos that either say my name, or I have a fan who lives in London who asked me to write something out for them that I had said to them at one point. And they're like, I'm going to go get this up, be my first tattoo. And so I wrote it down and they got it tattooed. And so it's my handwriting and it's on their arm.
Oh my God.
But it's like an inspirational quote kind of, and it was really meaningful for them. So it was Know Your Own Beauty. And so I think for them, it was like, yeah, it was really big thing. And so I take it as like a huge honor. Of course, I'm like, wow, someone like feels that strongly about my art and the impact it has had for them on such a personal level that they wanted to get it on their body forever. So it's a really big deal. Doesn't make me upset or angry. My only fear is if somebody wants to get like my face on their butt, it's like, please just spend as much money as you can on the tattoo. Cause I don't know if you've seen like portraits, you've seen, I follow shitty tattoos on Reddit. I mean, I have seen some absolute monsters. Like I've wanted to get maybe like a Mulder Scully portrait thing, but I'm terrified. I would be terrified because you could even look at an artist and be like, oh my God, your portraits are amazing. But they fuck yours up. It's one of those tattoos that's like, oh my God, it's scary. It's risky.
Very difficult, it seems. Mm-hmm. And if you get it wrong, like, especially when you, like, you don't have a lot of tattoos. So, like, having that there just, like, out in the open for everyone to see. Like, the more tattoos you have, the more shitty tattoos you can get away with, I think.
100%. 100%.
I know a lot of people, including myself, that have some shitty tattoos hidden in, like, the patchwork. But, like, yeah, if you don't have very many, then everyone's going to see it. And it's just, need to,
it's going to stand out. Very sore thumb. And then it'll be like, now you're forced to go and just get a bunch of shit. you want to minimize that shitty tattoo. So that's the thing. So that would be my only concern if they were going for some kind of a portrait thing. Mm-hmm. I would almost prefer more like an artistic expression of the concept of Sensei. Mm-hmm. But what about you with tattoos? Like, when did you start putting them on your body? Has it affected your life one way or the other? How do you feel about them now? Do you still have room? Do you want more?
I started getting tattooed when I was under the age of 18.
Wild.
Yeah, that was part of my crazy upbringing. But
a lot of people do.
Yeah. And like kids these days, I've seen like high school students with like hand tattoos and I'm
or on their face. Goodness.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my Lord. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're not going anywhere. So I kind of just like, I have them. They're cool. Sometimes like I do wonder what would have happened if I didn't have them, because like even now I have like really tiny tits. I'm pretty petite, all things considered. It was just like what would have happened if I didn't have any tattoos? Could I be like an eternal teen, or like one of those, like, you know, like in the industry, like that has crossed my mind. But yeah, I mean, they're cool. I like them. I think they look cool. I do get annoyed with all the questions, but
It's funny because my husband's also covered in tattoos. Mm-hmm. And he, when we were first getting together, he's complaining, like, just, I hate that people want to talk to me about they think it's an open invitation to come up and talk to me about tattoos in general. And I was like, oh, shut up. That's why you got them. It's not a big deal. Like, get over it. And then we travel all the time. And I've, you know, just lived alongside him for so long that I'm just like, holy shit, you're fucking right. And it's one thing if someone comes up and goes, wow, I love your tattoos. They're really awesome. And you can say, thanks, man. Appreciate that. Get on with your day. Mm-hmm. It is never like that. They go up to him and say, wow, man, your tattoos are really cool. And he goes, thanks. And then they say, I'm thinking about getting blah, blah, blah. It would be one thing if they're just like, oh yeah, check mine out. See this one I just got. Or like, oh, I really love this one on me. Because I'm interested to see other people's tattoos. But mm-hmm. who the fuck wants to sit there and have a conversation with a total stranger about the tattoos they're considering getting and like where they're going to get them done and where they're thinking about going to get it from? I'm just like, wow, man, this is wild. So obviously I assume you have that all the time.
Like, it'll be that or just some shit like, how much did that cost? I know that costs a lot of money. And it's like, that is the most ghost shit you could ever say.
Yes. Like,
and there was one time I was on the plane and like, I was on a plane going to LA and like this group of three people behind me, I don't know if they could tell that I was completely tattooed or if they were just like doing this to do it, but they were like, oh, my daughter got a tattoo and it's so trashy. Oh, tattoos are so trashy. I can't believe blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this is the trashiest fucking conversation I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, you're trashy.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I've heard some stupid fucking shit. Like, it's, yeah, annoying, but it is what it is. yeah, I mean, what I found really interesting is that it's very popular to have tattoos now. And, like, the styles of tattoos that are popular right now, like the neo-tribal shit. And like the like what looks like stick and poke tattoos are very popular.
Yeah,
and
stick and poke, yeah.
Never thought that would be the case. And right? Like people that, you know, I don't know, they're just so popular. And it seems like it's for some people it's like a status symbol almost. Like, yes, I can afford to cover myself in tattoos and I have this really nice job and I don't even give a fuck. And it's like a whole thing. Like I know like at least like one lawyer that has a shitload of tattoos and he's like, like there's a whole thing like, oh, I went to this very nice artist. I went to this artist that's from this country. And I'm just like, okay. yeah. But like I have one.
Mm-hmm. I have one that's from an artist who's from France. So oh,
yeah. A lot of mine came from New Zealand and I'm really proud of it actually. My favorite one is probably the frog I have on my forearm. I got it done by Toby George King at Black Cat Tattoo in Auckland.
Wow. Shout
out. it is like he does like this really crazy, like psychedelic, like surreal, like traditional style tattoo work. Yeah. And I just think it looks really cool. I love his work. I was supposed to get my upper arm done by him.
Yeah.
And I flaked out on our session because I was drinking. And I was like, well, it's 2019. I'll be back in like 2020, 2021. And then COVID happened. So I hope to go back one day. I hope to get more work done by him.
Yeah. So is that the one that's like the most, it's your favorite, but is it also the most meaningful to you? Or do you have any tattoos that you got specifically for? I know this is probably like another question that people who are heavily tattooed hate, but the question was asked by the listener. So do you have any that are like especially have all greater meaning for you beyond the artwork?
I think this one and the one on my stomach, I mean, a lot of like some of them do have meaning, but the ones that I like think of the most fondly these days are the ones that I got done at like certain points in my life that like remind me of where I was at that point. Like the one on my arm I was just talking about, or I have like those roses on my like abdomen. They were both done like right after I quit working vanilla jobs. And I was like really just in like, I don't know, not my peak, but I was in a really, really good point in my life where I'm just like, I'm a fucking sex worker. I'm out here. Yeah. I'm having a lot of sex with a lot of people. I'm having a good ass fucking time.
Yeah.
I'm in New Zealand. I'm out here. I got friends out here. I have a life. Like, I don't know. It was a very, very good point in time. So I have really good memories about that. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Me and my husband are talking about getting like little tattoos together too.
Yeah.
And that'll start to be the answer to that question, I think.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah.
You guys want me to have something that is meaning? Well, look at this.
Yeah.
This little Sonic the Hedgehog matches my husband's. Now what?
That's right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, for me too. I don't have, again, I don't have as many as I want, for sure. Always leaving space for that. But I think that what are sort of the most meaningful. So the X on my ankle is for the TV show, The X-Files. I have been obsessed with The X-Files since I was 13 years old. That was probably, I got that tattoo in 2010. I was in the hospital with a brain injury, a traumatic brain injury in 2009. And when I was sort of conscious again, but I still had to just be in the hospital, fucking laying in a goddamn bed for, it was really, really boring and terrible. And the TV just played like fucking TV. It was terrible. I was like, fucking, was it Two Men and a Guy or what the fuck is that show called?
Oh.
Used to have Charlie Sheen on it. Like sitcoms like that, that I'm like, why? And this is all before streaming and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and my grandpa came to visit and he bought this little DVD player. So we used to have portable DVD players. So it was like, just smartphones were barely coming out.
I had one of those.
A little portable DVD player. Yeah. And the first two seasons of The X-Files, because they knew there was... been into it since forever, and so it was like at least I got that reprieve. Like I could watch the first two seasons of The X-Files while I was, you know, sitting in that fucking hospital bed. And so it's kind of like my comfort show. It's my thing that always makes me feel better if I'm having a dark time. It's, and I revisit it at least every probably 5 to 8 years. I watch the series from the beginning again. So it's really meaningful to me. I fucking love that tattoo. The one on the back of my left calf, that's one that my partner and I went and got together on the same day. His is on the back of his left thigh because his calf was all covered up already. But it's, I wanted something with a compass, and it has a compass rose at the bottom, and then it has like a little landscape. Mine has a dusty trail that goes to these sort of wintry mountains, almost look like maybe a Colorado mountain range or something, or an Alaskan one perhaps, and a big sun in the background. And his is the same tattoo. It just has a river instead of a dusty trail, and the mountains are kind of more like desert peaks. So that's something for us that represents like our call to adventure, our spirit of travel, of the van life that we did for 3 years living in the van. And so that's a nice little thing that we share. And then we also went and got tattooed by the French guy. so we have the same artist and it's similar look, but different tattoos. But also the one here on my forearm, it's my pride tattoo. So it's got an Atom, A-T-O-M. And then it looks like paint splatter in a rainbow. And then the paint's like dripping down my arm.
Oh, and I love that.
So I really love this tattoo. I felt strongly that I really wanted something that was on the outward of my body. So if people saw me physically, they would know right away like what I'm about.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want, if there's another way or a more way that I could sort of express my queer pride, like I'm seeking that out too. Like I think I want more pride tattoos, to be honest. Yeah, so that's... that's what I have on me so far that's like especially meaningful kind of. There's more, but I just want to add to the collection here. And for me with the art, I do think of it like I was saying before, like putting pieces on me. And I feel like I've committed at this point. I mean, I love this artist with my forearm tattoo. She's so good and her color is outstanding, but I feel like I've committed to having every tattoo on my body be from a different artist. Cause so far that's what I have. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like I just want to collect more from different, cause there's so much talent out there.
Yeah. Especially these days, there's so many more shops than there used to be. And there's so much more welcoming and queer too.
Yeah. Like, oh, I love it.
Yeah. Very different.
And I just like that we have these ways of expressing ourselves with our bodies. And so when people are talking and having conversations like on the plane behind you, it's so that shit's like demeaning and it's extremely judgmental. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy for certain people to kind of be like, Well, that form of self-expression is trashy. It's like, okay, who are you to say that about how anyone chooses to express themselves with their own body?
Uh-huh. I don't know.
That's it's just oppression leaking out.
It is. It
really is. It's unfortunate, but it is cool to see the attitudes changing around that stuff, because there is just going to come a time when jobs can no longer discriminate against people with tattoos or piercings, because everyone's going to have one. And
I definitely feel like it's going in that direction already. I mean, like, I remember when I was younger, like, people would be like, you're never going to get a job with those tattoos, blah, blah, blah. It's like, my real estate agent is covered in tattoos. Yeah. Like, fucking, like, there's office workers covered in tattoos that just cover it up. Like, it isn't the world that it used to be.
No.
Especially with, like, Gen Z. Like, I feel like so many more young people are, like, covered these days, or have a bunch, or open-minded to it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, those traditional ways of thinking, they're going to get old and they're going to pass away soon, so...
Yeah, hopefully they're not carried on by millennials, the new generation. I don't know. There's some pretty fucked up Gen Z kids out there too. I like doom spiral about the state of like the world every
once. I do too. I doom spiral as well, but yeah. I see the hope. And for me, I mean, there's always going to be people within a generation who are dead set on trying to maintain the traditional way of doing things, despite the fact that it's very clearly that's not progress. We progress as a culture of human beings. Like, we've always done that. And so I try to avoid the doom spiral by having the hope in the acceptance that is coming up in the younger generations. Like, just, they give me a lot of hope, because they were born into a world that was already like really fucked up with regards to labor rights. And most people do, if they don't identify as some form of queer, they have friends and family and loved ones who identify as some form of queer, and they see it as a normal way of being a person. And so I try to encourage other people to find hope in that message, and recognize that, like, even though it feels like we are taking this giant step back right now, that it is always moving forward. The wheel of progress continues to roll forward, and then trying to pull it back, it's going to go forward. So we might see it get a lot worse before it starts getting better, but there's a reason why the pushback is so hard from traditionalists and conservatives, is because we're winning, is because we're moving forward. So try to keep that message in your heart.
Me too. Like, between just seeing like what goes down on social media, and then like,
yeah,
my time interacting with the vanilla world sometimes can just be like, I've seen some things. I've heard some things. Oh, like, just people that think you are one of them, and then like they say the most off the wall shit, and it's just like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anytime you have an opportunity where you are safe to push back against that, I just encourage you to try to do it. And that's all we can do. And keep being that change you want to see in the world.
True. It all comes from a full circle, right? Were we talking about that at the top of the hour?
Yep. Exactly. Well, amazing. Thank you so much, Felicia. This has been just a really great podcast, and I love talking to you. And I'm so excited. Same. I was excited before, but now I'm even more excited to see you next week.
I feel like this was a really good warm up. Like,
exactly.
Like, have a good like 2-hour conversation.
Same. Love that. Love that for us. By the time this comes out, we will have already made the content, and hopefully it'll be on the way soon. So before we sign off, can you please let everyone know exactly where they can find you on socials and find the work that you do and engage with it and pay you and support you in this life?
Yes. I will plug myself. So
yeah, plug yourself, baby.
My favorite clip site that I upload, that I update most consistently, is ManyVids. You could look me up at FeliciaFisher.ManyVids.com. If you want to have a conversation with me, if you've liked my voice and maybe you want to come together, I don't know. You can find me at nightflirt.com/nastygirlfelicia, spelled how it's supposed to be spelled. I'm also on Sex Panther. If you look up Felicia Fisher, you should be able to find me. And yeah, I'm not really on social media these days because it freaks me out. So those are the best ways to find me, contact me, interact with me and my content. And let me know what you thought about what we talked about today, too. I'd love to hear.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, make sure that you go out and find all Felicia's stuff and support her and the work that she does. And, of course, me, just old Sin Sage here. And you can find my website is sin-sage.com. You can find everything from my website, all of my clip stores, so you can support me and the art that I make and the work that I do. And the most important thing is that for this podcast, I would love more people to know about it. If you think that we're doing a good job here and spreading a message of sex positivity and sex worker positivity and humanizing the work that we do, please share it with your friends. This is not just a casual thing. It means a lot. The more people you tell about this podcast or share with people and get them to listen, hopefully we're making a movement here. And you can add to that by sending in your advice questions, because I really, really need those. We do 2 every episode, so I always need more of them. And you can send your advice questions directly to sinsagepodcast@gmail.com. I am in the thinking about phase of starting a Patreon for this podcast, so maybe we could do something like that too. I'll obviously let y'all know when I do that. But yeah, any support you can offer would be great. And I really just thank you so much again for listening and sharing the show with people. And all I want in return is for you to get out there and live authentically.